Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
It's so good to be with you. I love this church. I love your staff. Loved worship. Oh my goodness. That is great. What an honor to be with you today. I wanted to talk with you from the Gospel of Mark chapter 7 regarding the strangest miracle that Jesus ever did. Now, it wasn't strange because the miracle was strange. There was a guy who could not hear and he could not speak, and the Lord's going to heal him. Well, the Lord healed a lot of people. I mean, you know, that's not strange. That's common. Just being with the Lord means that things like that are going to happen. That, by the way, is why we bring people with us to church when we assemble together, because the Lord shows up, and when he does, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what he's going to say. You never know what he's going to do. We just know that people leave transformed. That's just absolutely expected. But the way he goes about it makes this miracle incredibly strange and worthy of our time to look at it together in order to get an insight for what it is that Jesus is doing. So the context for Mark chapter 7, we'll read the verses in just a moment, but it's a time for renewal for Jesus. You will read that he went up away and he didn't want anyone to know of it. You thought that was just your pastor when he's trying to get away. But no, he's following the example of Jesus, trying to get away in order to connect with God, in order to bring back to you the wonderful food that God has for you, the spiritual nutrients we need. So Jesus is slipping away with his disciples. He didn't want anyone to know about it, but funny thing is, people that are in need find Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Because he meets their need, and a woman finds him, and a miracle happens. So then he returns back to his home country. But instead of going to Upper Galilee, where, you know, they're all familiar with him, he heads across the Sea of Galilee to the area called Decapolis. Now, Decapolis is just a Greek word that means 10 cities. There were 10 cities across the Sea of Galilee that were not Jewish. They were Gentile. They didn't really believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They worshiped idols. And so Jesus is still kind of on a breakaway, but he's over there. In fact, the Jewish people of the time, they called it the far country, the far country. There's a parable that Jesus talks about a boy who got his inheritance from his father early and went to the far country. And from America, we think, oh, far, 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 physically far away. No. Just across the Sea of Galilee. You can see the lights of the city at night. It's right over there. You can see it. But it's far away from God, from the presence of God, from the worship of God. So in the parable, that's where he went. Well, Jesus is there. And when he shows up at Decapolis, they have kind of a little tradition that whenever any of the Jewish rabbis happen to pass by, which doesn't happen very often because they usually don't go there. Well, what they do is they bring people in order to be blessed. And they say, will you put your hands on them and bless them? So they'll bring their little children, or they'll find someone that's really in need. And so here is Jesus now. He's in their area, and they bring to him this man who is deaf and he cannot speak. So why don't we read it together? Here we are in the far country. So follow along. Let me read it to you. Again, he went out and came from the region of Tyre, that's up north, and he came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis, or the far country. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him. They begged him to lay his hand on him. Now, here's where it really gets strange. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. Are you with me so far? Is this not the strangest thing ever? And looking up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. And Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. I was thinking of that as we were singing about it is well. It is well. He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Now, can you not agree with me that that is probably the strangest miracle? Again, it's not strange because Jesus healed the young man, but it's strange because of the way that he went about it. Can you imagine this strange behavior of pulling the man aside, getting him alone with Jesus, and then he touches his ear, and he spits, and he touches his tongue, and then he looks up into heaven, and he sighs. And up to this point, I don't know if you've noticed, the man is not healed. All of these things happen, but yet the man is not healed, and it is not until he says, be opened, that suddenly the man can hear and the man can speak. Father, we ask that your word would just come alive within us. Lord, as we consider it today, we have ears that need to be opened so we can hear. Lord, we want to be people that really speak well of our God who does all things well. So even as you touch that young man, would you touch us, Lord, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Amen. Well, what in the world is going on? I think I have a little insight into this. When I was pastoring, we had a deaf community in our church, and they would sit right over here. So you get to pretend to be the deaf church today. And whenever I would then be preaching, there would be an interpreter, Pastor Sherry, who would stand right about here, and she would be signing the message to the deaf community. And it's really kind of fun to be a part of the deaf community. I mean, I'd go to their business meetings because they were part of our church, and I would meet with them. And whenever they would speak, they're trying to communicate. They're trying to get your attention, and they're waving and making sure that you're looking on them. And if they wanted to yell, they would stand up. So you knew it was serious if they were standing up and signing. And as I was kind of reading this, immediately it just dawned on me that Jesus, this great communicator, that is who Jesus is, isn't he? The great communicator. What we even call him the Word, don't we? The Word of God, the one who communicates the Father to us. This Jesus, the great communicator, the Word, he has developed a way to communicate to this young man, to this man who cannot hear and he cannot speak. And it's absolutely incredible the way that it happens. Here he is, he's in Decapolis, they bring to him this man that's in need. And the first thing he does is he brings him aside. Did you remember that? All by himself. And what is Jesus doing? Well, the very first thing he's doing is he is removing the distractions of the crowd who have all gathered around to find out exactly what Jesus is going to do. And he's moving him away so that the man can focus focus exactly on him. When you're among the deaf community, you'll notice that they're always looking around. I mean, they can't hear, so they don't want to miss anything. So they're always looking around to find out kind of what's going on, and they're pretty easily distracted. And here is Jesus, this great communicator. One of the very first things he wants to do is to get the man off to himself so that he can focus exactly on Jesus. We need that to happen too, don't we? We get so distracted in our life. There's so many things going on and so many voices we hear calling for our attention and so many things to do. And sometimes we can kind of forget the importance of just kind of being alone with the Lord. Just like the Lord, when he went up north and said, I'm not telling anyone where I'm going so that I can have time with the Father. So we too need to step aside and find some time just to really focus on the Lord. And that's kind of what we do in some fashion, even on the Lord's Day, when we gather and we worship and we let go of the distractions and we focus on him and we sing about him, which dispels the darkness and our fears and our anger, and it allows us to focus on him. That's the very first thing he does. And then Jesus takes his finger and places it in his ear. So Jesus is using sign language here. And he's telling the man, he brings him aside, and he says, I know you're deaf, and I'm going to do something about that. He places, the man's not here, healed, but Jesus is putting his finger in the, I always chuckle when I see evangelists who are praying for people that are deaf, and one of the things they like to do is they put, I guess they're following Jesus, put their finger, you know, in the ear. And I think that's okay. But what Jesus is communicating is I'm aware of your difficulty. And by the way, I'm going to do something about that. And then the next thing is he spits into his hand. Here's where it gets a little gross for us, right? I mean, what in the world? And then he touches the spittle, and he touches the man's tongue. Now, don't we all agree this is the strangest miracle ever when we get right here? But if we were living in the time of Jesus, that would not be quite as strange to us, because we would understand better than we do today that saliva has really incredible healing properties. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed, but if you've got a sore or a cut or anything inside your mouth, it heals much quicker than it does outside, just because of the healing properties. And in that day and age, I mean, if you were to fall and scrape your knee, or there was a problem and you'd go running to mama, she wouldn't kiss it, but rather she would be spitting into her hand and rubbing the spittle, the saliva, all into the wounds, because it was thought to be and was a kind of the medicine of the day. You didn't go down to Walmart and get your prescription filled, but rather you ran to mama, who knew exactly what it was to do. So in Jesus' culture, he is using sign language to say, I'm going to be doing something about your hearing problem, and I'm going to be healing your tongue. And the man would readily understand that. By the way, I'm just glad the healing evangelists don't do that part of it, aren't you? I mean, that would, we would probably quickly exit the building should they start into that kind of thing. But Jesus is finding a way, this great communicator, the Word of God. He knows how to break through any bondages, whether they're limitation because you can't hear or you can't see or you can't speak. The Lord knows how to break through, which he is doing for this man. And then what does he do? He looks up into the heavens, and he's still communicating to him. And he's saying, this is going to be the God of the heavens. It's going to be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the creator of the world. I want you to know this is not just me, but it's going to be God who is going to be healing you. And he sighs, and the Greek word means it's a really big sigh. It's not a small one. It is this compassionate sigh that is communicating to the man that God, he's not happy that he can't hear or can't speak, and his heart and his compassion is reaching out to him. And it's the reason why something is going to happen to his ears and something is going to happen to his tongue, because of the love of God who has visited Decapolis today in order to bring about a healing. And at this point, I want to remind you, the man is not yet healed. He is focused on Jesus. He realizes Jesus is about to do something, and his heart is pounding as he's trying to figure out what is this strange rabbi going to do, and it has something to do with my ears and my tongue and healing, and it's all about the love and compassion of God who is about to reach down and to touch my life. God. He is the great communicator. It was a early Saturday morning. I was at my office and working on a study that I was going to be doing that Wednesday, actually. And the phone rang. And I picked it up, and on the phone was a woman, Debbie. She attended faithfully our church. I mean, every time the doors were open, don't you love them, Pastor Brandon, when they come flooding in? I mean, she came in and she had three boys, and they were a part of the children's program and the boys program. And they would come in, and they were always faithful. They were always there, always involved. She would teach Bible studies. I mean, she was really, really great. She was married to Gus, and Gus never came. I mean, he just didn't come. He said he was Roman Catholic, but he really wasn't. I mean, he didn't go to Mass. He didn't do anything. He just said that and stayed home and did whatever it was that Gus found to do on a Sunday morning when his wife, Debbie, and the three boys, they would make it to church. And Gus was known to have, well, just a little bit of a temper. And so often Debbie was praying that Gus would come to salvation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God could just kind of break through some way and touch Gus? When I picked up the phone and realized it was Debbie, it became clear that something was really wrong. She was crying, sobbing so hard it was hard to even get the story out. And I said, Debbie, what's going on? And she said, oh, Pastor Ray, it's horrible. It's horrible. What is it? Tell me. I said, well, yesterday, I was talking to the boys, and the oldest boy, he said, you know, I don't think I want to go to church on Sunday. And, well, why not? Well, Dad doesn't go, and why do I have to go if Dad doesn't go? And she was trying to convince him, yeah, you do need to go. And so she said, this morning when I woke up, I turned to Gus, and I said, Gus, our kids are everything, and I need you to go to church with me. And she said, immediately he turned to me and his face was angry. And he said, I don't need your church. And he jumped up out of bed. And she said, honey, listen, you really do, for the sake of the children and for you, and you need this encounter with Jesus. And his face just, I don't need your Jesus. And he angrily was saying hateful things, and he got dressed, and he went downstairs and slammed the door on his way out, and the car was in the garage, and he revved it up, and when he flew out of the driveway, the wheels were spinning and the rocks were flying against the garage door. He was so angry, and he tore down the street, and Debbie is sobbing, saying, I don't know what to do, and I've made things worse, and the boys, they've heard the arguments, and they've heard these horrible words, and I don't know what to do, and, you know, what do you do? And we had prayer, and as I was concluding the prayer and hanging up, I noticed that the second line was now ringing, and I put the phone down and hit the button and picked up the second line, and it was Gus. And I heard a voice that said, Preacher, this is Gus. Hi, Gus. What can I do for you? I need to see you right now. Yeah, why don't you make an appointment and come by? No, I need to see you right now. I'm at the park down the road. You get over here. And he hung up. And I went out and got in my car. I'm praying. I'm going, oh, dear God, you know, what can I say? What can I do? And I drove down to the park, and sure enough, there was his car sitting there. He was at the beginning of kind of a trail that went back into the park where trees, and I pulled up and parked. And listen, I would love to tell you that that morning I led Gus to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I would love to tell you. But actually, just to be truthful and frank, I didn't have anything to do with it. In fact, the only words I remember speaking was, hey, Gus, how's it going? I got out of my car. I went to where the trail began, and I looked at Gus, and I said, hey, Gus, how's it going? Of course, I knew it wasn't going too well. And he kind of looked over his shoulder at me, and he said, preacher, come with me. And off he went down the trail. And I'm following behind him, and he's kind of mad, so he's going pretty quick, and I'm trying to keep up. And while he's going, I'm hearing him tell me what happened this morning with his wife. And I already know about it, and I'm still praying, Lord, what in the world are we going to do? And as we're walking, all of a sudden he stops, and he says, and do you know what I need to do, Pastor? And I said, well, what? I'm kind of looking at it. And he said, I think I need to get my life right with God, don't you? And then off he'd go again. And he'd say, I told Debbie that I didn't need to go to her church. But there was a voice inside that said, you do too need to come to my church. Can you believe that happened, preacher? And then off he went, and I'm trying to keep up. And then he would say, I told Debbie that I didn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a voice inside that said, you do too need me. Can you believe he said that to me, preacher? And then off he went, and I'm trying to keep up. And then pretty soon he stops and he says, you know what I need to do, preacher? And I look at him, and he says, I need to get down on my knees. Don't you think that's a good thing to do? And what I ought to do is I ought to say, dear Jesus, isn't that a good way to begin a prayer? And not only dear Jesus, but I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Will you forgive me? Isn't that the right words to say? And then I'll know that he'll forgive me and it'll be okay. Don't you think? Thank you, Jesus. He got up. He gave me a big hug. I was stunned. He went off running. I'm trying to follow after him. By the time we get to the front of the park, he's in his car. He's spinning the wheels, the rocks are flying, and he's gone. And I would love to say that I said the right words, that I gave him the Roman road of salvation, that my words were so eloquent and full of life that the man accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think I was more stunned than he was. I didn't say anything. Because our God is the great communicator. Our God knows how to break through into the lives of our family and our neighbors, our loved ones, the people we encounter. He knows how to speak their language. And it doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter how limited they are in spiritual things. God knows how to pull them aside, to order their lives so that they are drawn aside and they focus on him. And he knows how to touch their ears, and he knows how to touch their lips, and he knows how to speak in such a way that they come to an incredible understanding of who he is. Because that's our God. And when we bring people to him and say, just bless him, would you just bless him? God knows how to bring life to them. The next day, Sunday morning, I'm up there in the pulpit, and in comes Gus and Debbie and the three boys. The Lord gave me the best children's church worker that church ever had. I mean, Gus dove into the things of God, learning about God, wanting his boys to know and understand God, because God had spoken to him and brought life to him. You know, that's the first takeaway from this passage today. is that God knows how to communicate. He's the great communicator. And we can bring the gusses of our life to him, and the Lord will find a way to reach them. Don't give up. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop bringing them before the Lord. And even when they get mad at you, and even when they yell, and even when they say, I don't want any more of your Jesus, you don't give up. You double down in praying to the Father, because God is the great communicator who will break into their world with the glorious good news of his son, Jesus Christ. Anybody got a gust in their life? I'm not finished, but I just think we need to pause a moment. You got a gust? You got, yeah. Father, look, you see our hands. They're everywhere. We've got a lot of this man named Gus, this woman. Lord, who you have placed in our lives. And sometimes we just get so discouraged, and we think the more we share, the further they get away from you. And Lord, the truth is you're speaking to them. Lord, the truth is you're dealing with them. You're causing life to be oriented in such a way that they would come to an encounter. And Lord, they would encounter you. Father, I just ask, touch these men and women we call Gus today, and bring them to this glorious understanding of who you are. Don't give up. Just don't give up, my brothers and sisters. Just don't give up. In fact, maybe an application of the word today is getting one of those yellow post-it notes and putting it either on the mirror or on the refrigerator or on your Bible, whichever one you open the most and look into the most. And just put the name of your Gus and lift Gus to the Lord. Lord, do your work in Gus. Well, the story is absolutely incredible, because here's all the sign language that is going on, and yet the man is not healed. We noticed that. Jesus is doing all these wonderful things, and he is communicating to the man, and now he is standing right in his presence. And then Jesus says, be opened. That's all it takes. One word from the Lord. Be opened, and life is radically changed. Suddenly the ears pop open, the tongue is loose. This man who didn't learn how to talk is now able to talk. He's able to hear. You can imagine the stir that's going to be happening in the community when they see this man that they have brought to Jesus. And it causes them, I love it, to be utterly amazed. Did you notice? It doesn't just say amazed. You know, there are things that are amazing. And then I was utterly amazed, absolutely astonished. And the people said, he does all things well. Just from one encounter with Jesus, he does all things well. I called my deaf interpreter, Pastor Sherry, and I said, Pastor Sherry, I'm preaching through the miracles, and in a couple of weeks, I'm going to come up on this story about a man over in Decapolis who cannot hear, can't speak, and the Lord heals him. And it's going to be a Sunday night, and I want you to be reading that and preparing the deaf community. I'm not really sure how to preach it to them. I'm just going to be declaring the word, but you know, I wonder how they're going to respond. She said, oh, Pastor Ray, don't worry, the deaf community, they love you, they love the word, God does what God does, and it's all fine. So just preach your heart out and don't worry. So I did. I preached this miracle to the entire congregation, and as I was preaching it, I had this sense that God was ready to really do something. I mean, just kind of above normal. And my spirit just really got excited, and I'm kind of looking around, you know, just trying to figure out what is it that God is doing. I really don't know, but my heart is just really beating fast, and I'm preaching, and I'm looking, and then it's time for us to have prayer, and people responded well. I mean, you know, they came. It was a Sunday night, and they came forward, and they prayed, and they tarried around the altar, and it was good, and I prayed with people, and it was right, and, you know, it was nice, but, I mean, pretty soon they got up, and they left, and I'm the last one there, and I'm turning off the lights and locking the door, and I said, Lord, I thought you were going to do something. I mean, it was good. They responded well. We had a nice altar time, but I don't know. I expected more. And I have a habit. I would park the furthest away, and after church, I would kind of walk to my car, and I would always say, Lord, are you happy? Are you pleased with the way things did? Are you pleased with me? It's kind of a spiritual check time. And I remember I'm locking up the doors. I'm walking to my car, and I'm saying, like I always say, Lord, are you happy? Are you happy? And sometimes I hear the Lord say, yes, you know, I'm great. And I'm, yeah. Sometimes he says, not so much. And I'm going, oh, Lord, what in the world? And I'm walking out, and I know I'm going to hear this, not so much. And I'm going, Lord, are you happy? And I just sense in my spirit, I hear the Lord say, I'm very happy. And I stopped, and I looked up, and I go, well, I'm not. I expected something more. I don't know what, but I just felt like something was going to happen. And it didn't. So I got in my car and I drove home, and I do what all ministers do when they get home and things just didn't happen quite the way that they expected. I got out not one, but two pieces of pecan pie and piled ice cream on that. And I just came that close to sinning. Well, I mean, it was glorious. It was wonderful. And I enjoyed it. And I went to bed, and I got up the next morning and went to the office. We had a tradition at the church where I pastored. We'd all meet in my office for prayer in the morning. Right about 8 o'clock, we told everyone in the church we were praying at 8. We'd gather around my table. I had my big table in my office. We would pray. And throughout the city, people would stop and pray. People would tell us, I take my bathroom break at 8 o'clock every Monday morning in third stall. I'm praying. You know, it's just kind of fun what people, you know, say and do. So they all knew we were praying. And my secretary, she knew no one was to interrupt us while we were praying. So we were praying around the table. And while we were praying, all of a sudden the door bursts open and I look up. And here's this woman by the name of Pam who is running into the room where we are. And behind her is my secretary going, you know. And I look at her and I said, hey, Pam, what's up? Pam was part of that deaf community. She had sat about 3 rows in with her husband and their children. And Pam, at about age 16, she became deaf as a result of an illness. And So she could speak very, very well, and she could read lips very, very well. She just couldn't hear. They measured her, the level. The implants wouldn't work. There was nothing there. She simply could not hear. So if you can imagine, she grew up, fell in love, got married to a man whose voice she had never heard. And she had 3 beautiful daughters, and she would used to tell me, you know, my biggest regret is I've never heard my children say in their own voice, I love you, Mommy. And just loved the family so very, very much. So she comes running into the office, and I look at her so she can see my lips, and I said, hey, Pam, what's up? And Pam came and stood right beside me, and she said, say something, Pastor Ray, say something. And I looked up at her and said, what's up, you know? And she went around and Pastor Doug was there and she said, "Sing something, Pastor Doug, sing something." And Pastor Les, "Say something, Pastor Les, say something." She went all the way around the table and then back to me. And I said, "Pam, what's going on?" She said, "Well, you know, last night you preached that sermon on the deaf guy who got his hearing." "Yes." "Well, I loved the sermon. I just thought it was really great. And Pastor Sherry signed it so well. And in the deaf community, we all thought it was just wonderful." And then we went home and my husband and I, we put the children to bed. And then he set his alarm like he always did to get up in the morning and go to work. And we went to sleep. And while we were sleeping, I had this most incredible dream. It was absolutely astonishing. I wanted to tell her, "Well, so did I, but mine was a result of the pecan pie and the ice cream, and it wasn't quite so good." But she just kept right on, and she said, "In this dream, we were at church, and you were preaching that sermon, and you know what? I could hear your voice. I didn't need the interpreter. I was hearing you preach that sermon, and it was so exciting. I mean, my spirit just leapt within me. It was absolutely wonderful. And here I was sleeping, dreaming, when all of a sudden, my husband's alarm went off, and it woke me out of my dream, and I was so angry because it woke me up, and it was the most incredible dream that I ever had, only to realize that it woke me up, that I was hearing the alarm go off." She said, "I began screaming and yelling, and my husband began screaming and yelling, and the little girls came in screaming and yelling, and they're all looking at me, 'What? And she's going, 'Keep it down, don't scream, you're much too loud, you're hurting my ears.'" We all began to weep and to cry and rejoice, and the girls wanted to stay home, and I wanted them gone, and I shipped them off to work, to school, and my husband went to work, and I got in my car, and I drove to your office, and your secretary said I couldn't go in, but I went through her anyway, and I wanted to hear everyone say something around the table. Later, she told me that because she had asked the Lord, "Would you just give me one day to hear, just one day to hear my girls, one day to hear my husband?" She thought maybe she had one day of hearing. And she went all over the city collecting sounds. All of her loved ones, all of her friends, everywhere she went, just asking them to say something because she wanted to remember. The next morning when she woke up, she was still hearing. And it's been 18 years, and I just got a phone call from her last week, and she's still hearing. Because the Lord does all things well. This is the Lord your God. When you get alone with Him, when you come off to the side, when you allow Him to speak into your life and into your heart, and even when He communicates in a way that may seem a little strange to others, but you know He's communicating right to you, you discover that your ears become open to hear Him, and your lips become open to speak Him out, and life is enriched because you have encountered this living Christ who does all things well. And on the last day of our encounter with God at the beginning of this new year, the Lord has sent me to declare to you, He's going to do great things in your life. You will testify like the people of Decapolis. He does all things well. We brought to Him the one that we thought was beyond hope. And yet God reached out and touched him and his life is forever changed. Did you know that your life will be forever changed? You will hear, you will see, and you will speak of incredible things that God will do in this year because you have had an encounter with him. Father, we just present ourselves to you. Lord, we're singing it just like the song. We give you all of us, all of our world. We invite you into every part of our world. Come, Lord Jesus. We know it's because of the love of the Father and the grace of the Father that extends to us and forever changes us. We will never be the same. Lord, because of our encounter with you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a few minutes ago, we prayed for those who might be a Gus in our life, but maybe there's an area that you really need to hear from God. And for whatever reason, it seems like you're just not hearing, you're just not seeing, and you need God to break through. It's what you so desperately need. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just in the sanctity of this moment, would you just wave your hand and say, that's me? Yeah, thank you. Oh, yes. Oh, Lord. Lord, we're a needy people. So many of us this morning, we need, Lord, for an encounter with you. As we close out these wonderful services, Lord, we are in a place, our heart is just right, our spirit is just right to hear from you. And we hear of the way you have touched men and women who crossed your paths in our scriptures. And Lord, now we've heard of men and women who have crossed your path today, and we're forever changed. Lord, draw us away. Touch our ears, touch our tongues, and let us encounter you, I pray. While heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, perhaps you're here today and you need a first encounter with the Lord, a first encounter. You're kind of like the people of Decapolis. You know about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but you've never really encountered Jesus. You've never really asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to bring life. And this morning, he would like to do that. Just in the sanctity of this moment, you would raise your hand and say, that's me. I need, yes, thank you. I need to know Jesus. Yes, thank you. I need to know Jesus. Thank you so much. I need to know Jesus. Three of us. Lord, three of us. And yet you deal with us one by one. Even in the midst of a crowd, you take us aside, and one by one, you speak life to us. I'm going to ask everyone just to pray with me. It's that wonderful prayer, the prayer that Gus taught me on the pathway about how to encounter Jesus for forgiveness of sins. Would you just all of us say it with me? We've all said it one time or another, and here's three of us that'll be saying it really for the first time from their heart. Would you say it with me? Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have failed, but I also know you are a Savior and you have come to cover our sins. Would you cover my sin, Lord? Would you cover my failure? Would you give me new life in you? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you let me walk in new life? Jesus, I ask that you would do this. I confess that you are the Lord, that you died for my sins, that you were buried and resurrected to new life. And because of that, I enter new life today in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.